Hi, Max and Jim.
How are you? Well, great to hear your voice, Randy. I want to play for you both, if I may, something that we had a radio station affiliate put together for us. It's Sounds of the Spirit in Las Vegas, which is broadcasting light in a very dark city. But they asked the question of their audience, and I'd love for you both to comment on this. What happens after you die?
I have no idea. I really don't.
I believe we go into a state of, how you say, waiting, like purgatory.
Oh, you go to heaven.
To be honest, I really don't know.
I'm gone. Disappear. End of life.
I think they go to either heaven or hell.
After you die, I think your spirit comes out and you live a spiritual life.
Food for worms. You become food for worms.
Randy, Max, do those responses surprise you?
Randy, you go first.
All right. They don't surprise me just because, you know, I've heard them often enough. I do think, though, that sometimes the people who admit that they don't know what happens when you die are better off than the people who believe things that are false about what happens after you die. I think you're better off, of course, believing what the Word of God says. Your next best option is acknowledging you don't know, because then maybe you might be open to hearing. But it's the people who just feel certain that, well, everything's going to work out fine and we're all going to go to heaven, like that's our default destination. Or the people who are utterly convinced of the materialist worldview, we're going to be food for worms, as somebody said it. These are people who, you know, whose perspective needs to change, and the Spirit of God alone, I think, can do that work in their lives.
I was surprised, Jim, how many people said, I don't know. What is the mindset there? Let's say that you're flying, you know, on an airplane, and you turn to the person next to you and you say, do you know where this plane is going? He says, no, I don't. wouldn't that trouble you?
It would be a problem.
I would want to know. How can you endure a journey if you don't know where this is going? If you don't even have an opinion, if you're just to say, you know, I don't know, I'm just sitting here on the plane, I just ended up here. I think that's the troubling posture of many people in our culture.
Randy, I know.
I think that's true. I think if somebody doesn't know, then something that is of such great importance, then you'd think you'd be committing your life to really being a seeker, to find out and investigate. So the really surprising thing is for somebody to say, I don't know, and because I'm not doing anything about it, it means I don't care.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm trying to say, is that the surprising thing is not that they say, I don't know, but that they don't say, but boy, I'm trying my best. Can you give me some help, or can you give me some insights? That they're content in their naivete or in their agnosticism.
You know, it's always seemed funny to me to see cartoons, jokes about heaven and St. Peter at the pearly gates. It just permeates all aspects of our culture. Yet, do we really have, I'm asking both of you, Randy and Max, do we have a good understanding, at least in Christendom, at least in the church, as to what heaven is really like?
I think that many believers don't have a good concept of it. And a lot of it goes back to kind of a Platonic viewpoint that the soul is the real person, the body isn't, and one of these days we're going to be delivered from the body and we're going to go to heaven, we're going to live as disembodied spirits in an angelic realm, and then all will be good and all will be peaceful and all will be light. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. One is the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that the ultimate is the resurrection, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if the dead are not raised, we are of all men most to be pitied. And it's an embodied existence forever, eternal life in a new heavens and living on a new earth where Christ sits on the throne of the new Jerusalem. That's the promise of Scripture. And I think for many believers, we fall short because we think of the present heaven, you know, that's between now and the resurrection, as if that were the eternal heaven. But Revelation 21:3 says God's going to come down, bring heaven down to earth, and there the kings of the nations of the earth will come through the gates of the city, and you've got the tree of life, and you've got the water and you've got a number of Old Testament passages that talk about the animals lying down together, not just in a millennial kingdom, but in an eternal realm. And this is what's exciting. This is what you can have a passion for. People don't get excited about the idea of a disembodied state because God didn't make us for that.
Yeah, and Randy won't probably toot his own horn here, but but his book, Heaven, every chance I get to recommend it, I do. I earnestly think it should be required reading, certainly for every theological student or pastor, but it absolutely, perhaps even for every Christian. It's just really a profound collection of ideas and teachings. The big message that Randy has helped me see is that that God never gave up on his dream of the Garden of Eden. He has not abandoned that dream. And when Christ returns, he's not going to take us away into some nether world of clouds and harps and angel wings. He's going to restore this planet and restore the cosmos to its original intended state. This is really part of the promise that Jesus gave the disciples, right, Randy, on the night before the crucifixion. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And right. Place there means a physical location. And so that, to me, that brings heaven into, I begin to envision someday this body in which I find myself right now in New York City at the age of 56, this body is going to be resurrected from wherever it ends up unless Christ comes first. And I'm going to be able to walk in a universe that God has intended for me from the beginning of the ages. That's pretty exciting.
Can we be, Randy, a former pastor, and obviously you still are, Max, can we be critical of pastors for not teaching more on this subject? We're all on this plane, and I frankly don't hear a lot of messages from the pulpit about the final destination. Randy, what do you think?
Well, I have gotten more letters, more emails, had more conversations with pastors who have read the Heaven book and said yes to one thing in particular that I have said, and that is, I went to a very fine Bible college and a very fine seminary, both Bible-believing evangelical Bible college and seminary, and in neither place did I receive 5 minutes teaching about the new earth,
wow,
the place where we will spend eternity with Christ. And part of the reason for that, and so many pastors have affirmed this back to me, and it makes sense if you think about it, because I've taught at Bible college and seminary myself, and of course, whatever's at the end of the course, so if you're teaching like Hebrews through Revelation, the very end are the final two chapters of the Bible, and those are the ones that really bring it together, to new heavens and new earth, even though it's alluded to, of course, in other passages as well. And, we end up spending so much time talking about a pre-tribulation rapture, a post-tribulation, or maybe a mid-tribulation rapture, and, what the millennium and amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial, and all that. And then never get to, in an eschatology course, never get to the end. In a Bible course, never get to the end. And in some ways, so many men and women who have received training in Bible college and seminary simply have never even had this addressed. So I think the first fault, if we're going to talk about fault, that I would say is Bible colleges and seminaries need to really get on top of this. If they're training men for pastoral ministry, and they're going to be teaching on certain things, naturally you're going to think most and teach most on those things that you yourself have been taught. Now, many pastors have gotten a wake-up call, and they've come to terms with this and have gotten really excited about it. And it's such a blessing for me to receive these, letters from people who are now preaching on this subject and talking about how excited people are about it.